Okay, today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Gimel, and we're up to Dinei Momonot, Machazirin. So we had the halacha in the Mishnah, that if you find new evidence, you can actually reopen a case of a civil case, whether it's going to be mechayev someone money or not, but not when it comes to Dinei Nefashot. As to the Gemara, there seems to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Becheres, where it says, Dan et hadin, zika tachayab, chiyev et hazakai, timei et hatahor, tiher et hatamei. Somebody did a din, and he was an individual, so we're talking about dinei mominus, and he made a mistake. He made something tamei that was meant to be tahor. He made somebody pay money who wasn't supposed to pay money. Well, Masha asa osui, we can't just reopen the case. He has to pay the damages from his wrong psak out of his own property. So I thought you just said that in a momentous, we are able to just cancel the case, reopen the case. You said machzir netadin. And here it says he's got to pay for it. Omer of Yosef, that depends on the judge. Lokasha. In our Mishnah, where we said that, yes, you can actually reopen the case if you realize that a mistake has been made or if there's new evidence or whatever, you're always able to reopen the case. That's talking about where the dayan is a mumcha. So he is someone who either depends who you hold like over your mumcha, could mean Tosa suggests, means that he's actually samuch based on contradictions to other places. Others learn it just means he's a mumcha Lebesdin. So therefore, if he says now, I am clearly aware after doing further research, I am clearly aware that my earlier decision was wrong. Okay, and we know the guy's not just, you know, seesawing back and forth because he can't make up his mind. He really is an expert. He knows exactly what he's talking about. But if someone who's not a mumcha says, well, I made a mistake. How do we know you made a mistake then? Maybe you make a mistake now. Because we have no reason to rely on my final word in this issue. So the guy can say, the litigant can say, well, actually, I prefer your previous psak halacha. So I'm going to listen to you. Not now. I'm going to listen to your first halacha. But wait, even in a case where it is a mumcha, you're telling me, Rabbi Yosef, that in that case, we would reopen the whole issue and he could change his mind. The problem is, that it says right over there in that same Mishnah I just quoted to you, Imaya Mumcha Lebetin, note, if he was a Mumcha, then he doesn't have to pay. What do you mean he doesn't have to pay? There's nothing to pay. You're claiming that if he's a Mumcha Lebetin, so then he is able to reopen the case and fix whatever he did wrong, right? Now all of a sudden you're telling me, well, he can't fix anything, but he doesn't have to pay for it. That doesn't make sense. Amr of Nachman, it depends, actually. Even what Rabbi Yosef says depends on the situation. Because our Mishnah is talking about where it is possible for there to be an objective opinion who can actually be machzir it. It's not the same person, you see. So in our Mishnah, it's talking about a case, Sheyesh gadol himenu bechokhma uvminyan, we've got a greater bezdin. So that greater bezdin, or here we could be referring to it even in terms of the individual. Normally, the greater bezdin is a bit complicated because the fact that there would be a bezdin that would be greater bechokhma, that of course is understandable. So there's more people with greater experience and greater knowledge. Fine. But what does b'minyan mean? So as the Rambam puts it, I mean, how is it possible for there to be greater b'minyan if every bezdin is defined in the number of people that it has? So what does it mean when it says, Hech yu gedolim mi binyan? Oh, v'chol bezdin u bezdin shal shivim v'yachadu. The maximum you're going to have in a bezdin is shivim v'yachad. So what does that mean, gadol b'minyan? It means, says the Rambam, and of course this is the Rambam who overall, in the copy of the Dinim of Smicha as well, holds that the idea of the Dinei Atera as they come out in the end is dependent on the Chachmei Hador. So what he says is, Gadol b'minyan is, Ze minyan Chachmei Hador shehiskimu v'kiblu hadavar shamru beitin hagadol v'lo chokupo. So that's an amazing kind of new approach none of the other Rishonim have, that we actually look at the overall structure of knowledge, and we go according to the way that the Chachomim, how many Chachomim value these psakim of these bezdin. That makes it a bezdin that's a gadol b'minyan. Others learn that the gadol b'minyan could refer to the number of talmidim that are there in the yeshiva that learn in front of that bezdin. That we saw yesterday, that there's an idea of going dafka to the Beit Avat, to the place where the Chachomim are gathered, with the case where there are talmidim. So that would be, maybe the meaning according to others. Others learn that it means, Gadol B'minyan means in the age, meaning, what do you mean in the age? In the age of the Av Beis Din. So in other words, the leadership is older. Okay. Also some of the Rishonim. But in any event, so we'll have to obviously adjust that context. I mean, over here, we're talking about the individual who's going to say that that judge made a mistake. Fine. So if there's Eino Gadol Himena B'chokhbo B'minyan, there isn't someone. So then we don't have an objective opinion. We have the same man issuing two opinions. So there, even there, it says Reb Nachman, Reb Yosef wasn't saying that because he's a mumcha, he can say that he made a mistake. He's saying that there are others who can make a mistake. Now, you would think that what Reb Nachman is saying is a complete reversal of Reb Yosef's teretz, right? Because he's giving it completely different criterion. According to Reb Yosef, the issue is whether the person who issued the psak is believed to say he made a mistake, which he might just as well be making now. So what Reb Nachman seems to be saying is, well, there needs to be an objective opinion. The thing is, though, that it doesn't say Reb Nachman Omar, or it doesn't say Ella, Kanshiyesh Gadol Emeinu B'Chokhmah B'Minyan, right? So if it would say Ella, so then Inachinami, it would be a different opinion. But it doesn't say that. So it's Mashur. Reb Nachman agrees there's an afkamina between mumcha ve'eno mumcha lebezdin. But he adds an additional criterion. And he's saying we need to have an objective opinion as well. Reb Sheshes Omar, kan sheta'a bidvar mishnah, kan sheta'a b'shikol hadat. As we've seen several times, there's a difference on what the Dayans made a mistake in. In a case where it's something that is completely in the open, and we're going to define what that means to Abedvar Mishnah, I mean, he understands that it's beferish that any person who knows basics would know that this is wrong, and it simply forgot it. So there, you can actually throw out the original opinion because it's clear that it's just a simple black and white mistake. This is not a question of maybe you were right the first time and you're wrong this time. I mean, the evidence is there in front of your eyes as it's written in the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah we were quoting over here, with the Mishnah from Bechoras we've been asking from, that's talking about that he doesn't have to pay, but we can't, or the case where he does have to pay, that would be talking about b'ta'a b'shikol hadas. We can't actually flip the decision because it was a judgment issue, as we say in English. Obviously, it was a judgment issue in Hebrew because that's what we're talking about. But it's talking about the judgmental, as in other words, the weight that he's giving. That's the shikol. So how he weighs the different shitas. So therefore, it's really an issue of judgment and not a black and white issue at all. In that case, the litigant can say, listen, you know, maybe your original judgment is better, the way that you were weighing it initially. You know, there's different perspectives. I'll go according to your initial perspective. Now, there you can't take the case back and reverse your opinion. And we know that there's this difference because the Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi, Ta'a Bidvar Mishnah, Choser, Ta'a b'shikul hadat. So then you can't reverse it because it isn't a clear-cut issue. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. When we say that he was ta'a bidvar mishnah, so he says, if it's something that everybody would know, and it's something that you can look and just look it up in the books and you'll see that he was wrong. What does that mean? What is considered to be sufficiently authoritative that we're going to say that's an indication that you're wrong? So would that mean only a Mishnah that actually Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote and that he finalized that this is the absolute opinion? Or maybe it's even in a Braita. Afilu ta'ab Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Sharia, remember the Braitot we've said many times, only those Braitot that have been reviewed by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Sharia at great length in their yeshiva and their bezdin, and they passed as being correctly formulated, and there weren't any internal errors which showed that this is a Braitot that was Toya. So if the judge simply didn't know a Braitot, he'd forgotten a Braitot, is that the same thing as not knowing a Mishnah? Omale? Yes, absolutely. Well, what if he just made a mistake in a local psak, meaning it's a psak in the past generations? There was a question of Rav and Shmuel. He didn't know that Rav and Shmuel, Damri Tarvayu, and him. He didn't know that. Is that also considered to be a mistake in something that any idiot is supposed to know? Omale, why not? Yes, and if this, obviously this doesn't mean that if he made a mistake, he passed. I mean, he has a right to even argue with Rav and Shmuel. So now, why does he have to pass him like Rav and Shmuel? What it means is, if it was a psak, that had he known, he never would have argued on it, and he wasn't aware of the precedent, and he wasn't aware of the logic of the precedent, but had he been aware, he never would have said what he said. That's what it means. Is that considered to be the equivalent of a Torah B'dvar Mishnah? And that is what Rav Ashi is saying. Yes, absolutely. So he asked them. I'm really sorry about this voice problem. So Ravina asked him, and what about if he just didn't know? How about me and you? How about if there was a psak by Ravina, a psak by Rav Ashi? How about that? Afilu b'didir b'didach? Oh, Marleya, what are we? Chopped liver? I don't understand. We're exactly the same. If he would have accepted that psak, so, otu, anan katpikani ba'agmana, you think we're just chopped liver? I mean, we're also something. Katpikani ba'agma, literally, this is a way in which we refer to people that are spending their times doing a business that really doesn't accomplish very much. These guys, they go out to cut down reeds that are in the middle of an agam, in the middle of a swamp. So, okay, it's always, you know, this is not exactly the most skilled of Harvard degrees, but, you know, that's not what we are we? I mean, we're a little better than that, so our psak halacha should also be important. Again, only if had he known the precedent, he would have actually said it. Gavi, I hope you're not giving that cow stuff when you've got an option for giving boost to the baby. What in the world? You were getting up there in the world before. So we have a couple of boost-raised babies. It's like, you know, farm, is it farm fed? Okay. So now the question is, now we know what a Torah B'dvar Mishnah is, but what is a Torah B'shikol HaDaas? I mean, isn't it, by virtue of its being a matter of judgment, there's no way to bring an objective proof that this is a toast? So it doesn't even make sense. So how can you say you made a mistake in a shikol hadas? How do we know you made a mistake? So echidam a shikol hadas then? Omer of Papa, look, what that means is that the psak halacha has never been made, but we know that there are two very powerful cases. We have two tanoim, two amoraim, that are arguing with each other about precisely this issue, but the Gemara has never established a halacha. Lo itmar hilchata lo kamar v'lo kamar. This particular dayan, ikri v'avad kechad minayim. So in his mind, this was the way to go, and he paskened like one of these tanoim. However, what he did not know is that the sugya, the shmaitata, as like the idach, that overall, the way that the psak halacha, the normative halacha all over the world, is to take the other opinions. Even though it's not an established ilchasa by the Gemara, and nobody went out to say, you know, this is the halacha that everyone should follow. But once this becomes normative, then that's called shikol hadas. Eisvei Rav Amnona l'Rav Sheshes, if that is the meaning of the mistake that you're saying, and that if you have a Tos B'dvar Mishnah, so then in that case you would be actually able to be Shav. How about the following story? We know that there was a Maaseh, B'parash Nitla Ha'em Shalah, So this is also the Mishnah in Bechoras. And there we were discussing what things would be a mum or what things would be treifas. And there was a case where a cow had had a hysterectomy. And Rabbi Tarfon was asked whether that makes the cow a treifa. And he said, absolutely. He said, give it to dog food. You're not allowed to eat that cow. The Chamaisa came to the Chachomim in Yavne, and they said, it's absolutely kosher. There's no problem in eating a cow with a hysterectomy. Sha'oma Tudus HaRofe, the famous Tudus, said that there's not a single cow or a single pig that is exported from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim that does not go through a hysterectomy. That's because they wanted to keep, they had amazing, they put in long efforts in actually selecting absolutely the best, mean, and they had their own specialty, wonderful cows, wonderful pigs, but they wouldn't export them as farm animals alive if they could be used for reproduction, because then they figured, you know, people would buy them and put them out of business. So there's not a single cow, and they're shipped all over the world, and they go on living, and they're perfectly healthy, even though they've all gone through hysterectomies. So they always are chotchin im shalak adeshalateleid. They don't want to have any more of those cows elsewhere. Oh, heck, says Rabbi Tarfon. Damn. There goes your chamor. Forget about the cows. I don't know. Am I going to pay for this mistake that I said that this was a treifa cow and it wasn't a treifa cow? I'm up the creek and I'll have to pay. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. No, no, no. Don't worry about it. You can keep your chamor. Potur atav mishikol mumchel rabim potem l'shalem. So what was Rabbi Akiva's explanation of how it is that Rabbi Tarfon is going to get away with keeping his chamor and not paying for his mistake? Only because you are a mumchel rabim, and the din is that a mumchel rabim does not have to actually, there is, by the way, a problem in the Girsa here, as you'll notice. Mumchel rabim is the way we understood before, that could be a mumcha, that the rabbim is humchuhu rabbim. They considered him to be a mumcha, but here he really was a mumcha, so therefore the Bach changes it to mumcha lebedin. Anyway, so that would be the girsa over there, obviously, what we're talking about. So Rabbi Akiva told him that that's the only reason that you don't have to pay. Now, if what was you were saying is correct, so then what Rabbi Akiva should have said is that is you're a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. And a Torah B'dvar Mishnah Choser. That's what he should have said. That's the important Nakuda, right? So if that's the case, how come he only said that the Ptur is Mubchel Rabim, you should be able to actually say that it's all right. Now, this is a little bit strange because it said before that he actually fed it to the dogs. It's mashma that it's not here anymore. So it's not going to do very much good to be choser. Okay, there's a lot of discussion about what it means when it says echilo l'klavi. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya, because we often find that when we have a number of reasons that would have actually ended up in the same way, we call that chada v'od. I'm not going to sit here listing all of the reasons that your chamor is safe. I'll give you one reason. There's maybe lots of other reasons. First of all, you are a Toa B'dvar Mishnah, and a Toa B'dvar Mishnah is choser. And obviously, it's also true, even if this wouldn't have been a Toot B'dvar Mishnah, even if it would have been a Toa B'shikol Adat, a case of Toa B'shikol Adat, which isn't choser, is in a case of a Mumchel Rabim, so that you can't bring me a raya against Rav Sheshes. Omrev Nachman by Yitzhak Larava, I don't understand what the problem is. You're talking about Chazora. Okay, so even if it said that Rabbi Tarfon had paskind, now the question whether he personally had given up, that we're going to have to see, did he personally give it over with his hands, and he destroyed the parah? But the pashtus is that his psak caused the owner to go and to feed it to the klavim. So I don't understand what you're asking. If that was the case, Well, how is he supposed to reverse his decision? The Purah is not exactly available. So Purah, Hare Ha'achi Lala Klavim, Veleta de Tahadar. It's not here. So what is he asking? No, what he was saying is essentially, I mean, he expected Reb Sheshis to understand that obviously he's aware of the fact that if the Purah doesn't exist, you can't exactly change the Psak Halacha. What he was telling Reb Sheshis is, look, if you're wrong and you're ready to admit that you cannot change a decision, even where it was a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, what would that mean? That would mean that there's a concept of kam dina. That once a din is paskin, that din, even if it's a mistake, it would still stand. So then that would explain why Rabbi Tarfon was very upset. So Haine de Kamafchid Rabbi Tarfon, and he says, there goes your chamor. So Rabbi Akiva is calming him down and saying, no, there's nothing to worry about, because after all, mumchel besdin atam, that's fine, because you're proter melashalim. But if you're going to tell me that the case of somebody who is toa bedvar mishnah is chozer, and that's the way you hold, and this was what Rav Amnuna was asking Rav Sheshis, if we say like you, that a toa bedvar mishnah is chozer, so then, Lemale, Rabbi Akiva, should have said to him, if the Purah was alive, then what would be the din? That would have been meaningless, right? Because you could have started over again. So you didn't even make a real Psak Halacha, because it's Chozer. So what happened now? So the owner, based on what you said, went ahead and he fed his cow to the dogs? That's not something that you did. That was a groma b'alma because of your psak. So he decided that that's what he should do to the cow. So why would you be chayev on a groma? If it were actually the psak, I understand that you're worried about being chayev. But if it's not the psak, then whatever happened is like anything else where somebody does something that doesn't directly cause damage. Indirectly, he influenced the owner's opinion about what should be done with the cow, and it was fed to the dogs. I'm chayev, as if I damaged something by influencing someone's opinion? So if I gave up sock that stands, then that would be a problem. But Lamaisa, this is basically what Rabbi Akiva is telling him. You didn't do anything. Okay. All right, so now we have the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Bechorot, and we have the different approaches about Torah B'dvar Mishnah, Torah B'shikl Hadat, but there's another simple way of answering the contradiction, says Rav Chisda. The answer is simple. Then in the case in Bechorot, it was talking about that he was natal v'natan biyad. The judge didn't just issue an opinion. He actually took the money from one and said, give me that money, and he handed it over to the other one. So in that kind of case, the judge himself is not simply issuing a psak. He is talking about he did the act which was the conclusion of the person's losing the money. In our Mishnah, he can be chayzer because he didn't go that far. In our Mishnah, he just said his opinion, but he didn't take the money and give it to somebody else. So therefore, if it was Dateya, he would be able to be Chozer. But no, you see, that doesn't work out because there were two cases in the Mishnah Bechoros. It said Chievet HaZakai or the opposite, that he was Chievet HaZakai. Yes, that makes sense. He said the person who was Putter would be chayev. So what does that mean? He takes the money from him and he gave it to... That you could say, oh no, but how in the world does the other case in the Mishnah, where it says zikat achayev, somebody was chayev to pay money, and he said you're not chayev to pay money. Now, how in the world can you do that with a positive act? You're just telling him he does not have to pay. So how would you use this distinction to explain the case in the Mishnah and Bechoras when you'd have to apply it to both the passive case and the active case? It only makes sense in the active case. So zikat achayav eichem ashkachat. How can you possibly actively make someone potter when he's chayav? The only way you could do it is passively. Diyomalei poturata. So he said, you don't have to pay. But then he didn't do anything. And you said the whole point is that he had to strengthen the psak to the point where he actually did it biyad. V'holo natav v'natan biyad. That way he can't hand it over. So why can't he be closer, according to what Rav Chisda is saying? And the Mishnah is saying he cannot be closer. Well, once he says paturata, since the other person is already holding that money, he doesn't have to be notel v'natan biyad. The fact that the money is in the possession of the person who says keep the money, when he says keep the money, it's kimosh natal v'natan biyadami. So then, if that's the case, what is the case over here in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says dine mamonit machzirin bein l'shut bein l'chova. Now Rav Chisda said that that's talking about in a case where he didn't know say v'noten biyad. So now I have the opposite question. If according to you, the very issuing of the psak is the equivalent of actively notel biyado, because it's talking about where he said you don't have to pay, then how do you read our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, if I understand, if you're talking about l'schus, that works, because he said you're chayev. Yomalei meikara chayavata. And you're saying he said you're chayev, but he didn't actually take the money. So therefore, he's able to be chayzer. But in the other case, we now have the opposite problem. If he says that you're actually mechuyev to pay, so then what would be the case that he made the mistake? Let's see, lechova hechem ashkachasla. I mean, what would be the case where he said that you're potter? So then the person was chayev. He now has to change and he has to pay. But if he was chayev, that means that all he did was say that you're putter. What do you mean all he did? According to what you said, the moment you say that you're putter, if the money is in his possession, it is the equivalent of not sovereign biyad. And you said in that kind of case, you cannot be chozer. And here it says you can be chozer. So one way or another, if this distinction is real, then either the Mishnah here doesn't work or the Mishnah Mechoros doesn't work. So what kind of answer are you giving? Ah, says the Gemara, you misunderstand the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not talking about two different cases. Case one where it was l'chova and case two where it was l'schus, in which case you're absolutely right. One of them doesn't work. The Mishnah is saying there's one case that you can be machzer if it was l'schut, even though that was l'chova to somebody else. That's the point. So it's saying when it comes to a din of momentous, you have the civil case. So then you can change your mind and say you were putter, even though that's going to be costing somebody else. What? So then tell me, please, when you're saying that this is only true about civil cases, this is not true about a murder trial, let's say. Now, what is that supposed to mean? So you're machzirin, it says over there, you're allowed to change the ruling if that is going to get the guy off, right? So you can acquit him, meaning that originally you actually were mechayev him, and now you're going to acquit him, and you can't, ein machzirin l'chova. Okay, what does it mean over there? Machzirin l'schut, I mean, it's obviously the same case as we have in the Mishnah that only works for momentous, but doesn't work for nefashis. Can you tell me what that is? So machzirin l'schus would mean you can be machzir where it's not a chova for anybody else. But ein machzirin l'chova means you cannot make a change in a psak where it's going to cause somebody else a chova. Now, that, we're not talking about an issue of contention between two people. We're talking about a murder trial. So exactly what are we going to, who's it between? The victim and the murderer? And you know what, the victim's going to be upset because now you acquitted the murderer. I mean, what does that mean? How could there be a case where you're going to be acquitting a murderer, but that's going to be damaging to somebody else? Who's it going to be damaging to? Chovat Aleman. That doesn't bother me. Hello, Kasha. It could mean if there's a Goel Adam. If there's a Goel Adam, so that person is a relative that would have been in a case of a accidental murder. So then he would have been able to have knocked the guy off who killed his father or his uncle, whatever the case was, by accident. He would have been putter. So that guy is going to be upset. You mean you're letting off the murderer? So maybe that's what it means. So even though obviously it's not a real chova in terms of money or anything else, but it's an emotional chova. Maybe that's what it means. You got to be kidding. You're telling me that because this guy is going to be emotionally upset, so therefore it wouldn't be nice, would it, to just tell the innocent party that he's innocent? I mean, after all, we should kill him because the Goel Adam will feel much better because he got it out of his system. What are you talking about? So, Mishum Chovati de Goel Adam Katlina Leilahai? We were going to kill a guy that otherwise we wouldn't have killed because somebody's parading around with a sign and saying, you know, letting murderers go. Now, that's crazy. And anyway, this business of Rav Chisda claiming that the Mishnah is saying one thing when it says that it's a chovah, it doesn't mean or chovah. It means where the schus is a chovah. Could you please read the Mishnah? I'd love to see you explain the Mishnah with that, okay? The Mishnah says, bein l'schut, bein l'chovah. Now, is that the same case? It says in both cases, bein. What are you telling me? Obviously, it's two different issues. Yeah, all right. That is a problem. Okay, so Rav Chisda's explanation is not so hatsi-tatsi. But, you know, it's not absolutely impossible to work things out with Rav Chisda, where he says the difference, I mean, that's how we started this whole thing. The difference is whether what the Dayan said he did with his own hands and so on, and the Mishnah Bechoros, which says that it can't be chozer. The only question is, do you pay? You can't actually be chozer. That's because you actually handed it over, right? That's what we said. So you're asking, okay, but that doesn't make sense by the dine nefashes. But what we could say is, maybe, that the difference is that if the guy was holding a mashkan, so the person who was actually suing for repayment of this money that's owed him, he had the guy's wristwatch, right? And the judge who said, well, you know, this contract is not valid, he doesn't owe you the money, he took away the wristwatch that he was holding as security, and he gave it back, saying, well, you don't have to pay, and therefore, give me that wristwatch, and he hands it back to the person that he just said was putter. And that is where, in that case, it's the same thing as making him lose the money, you see? So it is possible to have a case where when you tell the person he doesn't have to pay, that is actually done positively. Maybe that's the point. Well, what about the case that it says in that Mishnah? It says the Dayan said that something that he had said a minute ago was Tomei, or it said yesterday was Tomei, and actually it was Tohar. So what would that be that he does something? No, that means he takes a sheretz and he actually says, you don't believe me? Ha ha ha! Believe me now, buddy. So he puts this dead sheretz on the thing and he's metamei it. So therefore, he actually did it biyado. And when he says, and he made something that was tamei, it turns out that he had said that it was tohar. So can he change his mind and say it's tamei? How do you do that with your own hands? What do you mean? You say, you think this is tummy? Give me that food basket. He mixes it in with all the guy's other food. He's been tummy, all his tyrus and so on. So he did it biyada. She'irvan bein perotav. So that would be considered to be, he really made things tummy. And in that case, there's no way, obviously, to be chaser. And therefore we say he would have to pay. Ma'ashem, king, continues our Mishnah. When it comes to dinei nefashot, you can only reopen the case if it's going to possibly result in an acquittal. But you cannot reopen a case where someone was acquitted and you're trying now to suddenly be mechayev of him. You can't convict once you acquit it. Tana Rabbanan. How do we know this from the Torah? Minayin liyotzei mi beit din chayav. A person was actually being taken out of the Beis Din, and they were leading him to execution. And somebody says, wait, I just thought of something. maybe we didn't take into consideration an argument that I have. Oh, we go right back and we reopen the case. Minayin shemachazirinoto? Well, the pasuk says, Naki v'tzadik al tarog. So if it said Naki, even though this guy's not a tzadik, according to the Beis Din, but he might be Naki, right? Be very careful not to kill innocent people. Okay, and what about the other case? Minayin lo yotze mi beitin zakai. A guy is walking out of the courtroom congratulating his lawyers, you know, okay, thank heavens we got an acquittal. And somebody stands up and in the audience and he says, wait a minute, I've just thought of a reason why we should actually have convicted him. How do we know that we do not put someone into double jeopardy and reopen the case against him? Talmid Lomar, Naki Vitzadik Al Tarog. Well, this guy, according to the Beis Din, was adjudged to be innocent. So he's a tzaddik in the eyes of the Beis Din. He may not really be innocent, so he's not a naki, but he's a tzaddik. So both cases, the Torah is telling us very concisely, no matter what the situation is, if in the eyes of Beis Din he was a tzaddik, meaning he was acquitted, don't bring him back. If he might actually be a naki and the Beis Din doesn't know it, then reopen the case. And make sure that you find out. So that pasuk tells us that the Mishnah is precisely correct. Omri Pshimi Barashi, but you know, there is one case where we would do exactly the opposite. And if somebody gets up and says, I have a way to actually find this person to be a mesit, we can convict him of being a mesit. So mesit is somebody who pushes and persuades other people to be oved avodah zarah. Now, over there, the Torah says, when it comes to a mesit, lo tachmol v'lo techase alav. Have no mercy and don't try to cover up for him. Rav Kahana says, and it continues on, read the next piece. That's the real meaning. Ki harog tahargenu. It doubles the lashon. Kill him. Definitely kill him. So, in other words, in the case of a mesit, there may be an additional chiyavan Beis Din to execute in a case where if he had been a murderer, where we would have reopened the case. That's why we say, chilufa lemesit. So what we said in the Mishnah is that once we have a psak and somebody is a tzaddik, according to the Beis Din, we do not reopen the case. Now, is this only referring to a case where the person is actually chayav misa? How about in a case where it was an accidental death, and the person would have been chayev to be sent to an ir miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol, what would be the din over there? How about chayve galuyot mai? Would we see that as the same thing? You can't send a guy to an ir miklat after we've already said that he's potter? Or is that not the same at all? Says Reb Sheshes, it's exactly the same. I mean, I'm not saying this on my own dot. It's because when you were talking about the dinim, the mitzvah on a Beis Din for execution, so it says, Omer, mot yumat harotzeach. Well, it's fascinating that the same language of rotzeach is used for the din of Arei Miklat. There it says, lanus shama harotzeach. So mot yumot harotzeach and lanusham harotzeach have exactly the same dinim based on this gzeira shava. And therefore, just like you cannot do a double jeopardy din when it comes to dinei nefashes, the din of Golios, even Beshogeg, is the equivalent of dinei nefashes. Okay, says Rabbi Zeira, what about chayve malkiot? Would that be the same? And if somebody was said to be putter, so he was acquitted of a chiyav malkus, you would not be able to be mechayev him and reopen the case, or what? Says Reb Sheshes, absolutely. There too we have a gzeirah shava. Our gzeirah shava there was the lotiku kofer nefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lamut, and the same word of rasha is the definition of, in the case of the enim zalimim, which serves as the model, vahaya im bin hakot ha-rasha. So that means that it would be exactly the same halacha. Tanya Nami Achi, we have actually a brisa that says this. Chayve Golios Binayin, how do we know the same din of bringing the case back to court is only in a case where we were going to maybe be able to say he's Potter? How do we know that that's true of Chayve Galuyot, the same way it is in Chayve Mises, Asir Rotzeach Rotzeach, as we just said? How do we know that that's true about Chayve Malkiot, that you can only bring him back if he's going to be exonerated? That we learn out from Russia. Next case is that the Mishnah said, Ein Machzirin Lechova. So, I mean, there are certain cases that are so outrageously wrong that we should be able to be machzir. So what about that? Omer Abchia Barav, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Shita B'Dava She'ina Tzeduki Modim Bo. Obviously, this doesn't cover everything. If it's something that is actually right there in the Pasuk to such an extent that even a tzeduki would have to admit that this is what the Torah is saying, then that is not considered to be a psak at all. And if he was taught b'dover sh'atzeduki bo, even if we're talking about a conviction, a possible conviction in a murder trial, so then it wasn't considered to be a din. Zil kari be'ravu. I mean, this is something that you learn in kindergarten. So, I mean, that's not called dayanut at all. Look, how about, I understand a murder trial, okay, there might be all kinds of dinim. But I mean, if we're talking about something in which everybody, I mean, even the tzedukim, you know, there's a lot of things that are very, very detailed when it comes to murder. And what type of contradictions between the Edim and what type of murder weapon and so on and so forth. Fine, I understand that. So you can make a lot of mistakes. Maybe Pinogiyad Hasra, I don't know. But the question is, what about in cases of adultery? So you're Torben or Efen or Efet. I mean, that would mean that if you made some kind of mistake, I mean, it's not going to be some subtle question. So apparently that would always be, you're telling me that anything that would be nogea, a case of a noef and no effet, you'd always be able to open up the case again and be mechayev then? Omar Leiz, Rabbi Yochanan said, look, you ask me questions that you should be able to answer yourself. You know what they say. Ademokdach yakid zil kotz kara chutzle. While you got yourself a hot campfire, that's the time to take your sweet potatoes and put them in that fire and make sure they get roasted properly, just as PK would do. And therefore, if you're already learning, I mean, we've decided what the halakha is on something that the tzedukim are made in by, then what are you asking me? If it's true that it's tzedukim made in by, fine, so then we'd have to reverse the case. Itmar nami, omer abami, omer abyochanan, ta'a b'no'ef, you could be chozer. So I understand. So then where would it be that ein chozer in the Mishnah is saying that bichlal, what we're talking about is all cases of chiyuv nefashas. Chiyuv nefashas includes this question of noef and noafet. So there's got to be some case where the din would apply, as the Mishnah said. Can you tell me what that case would be, that you can't change the din, you can't bring him back, even in a case of noif and noefet, hechidomi ein chozrin? Of course, says Rabbi Abu, Rabbi Yochanan. There are cases where the tzedukim are not moda. Kegon shita'a b'shelo kedarka. So look, as far as the tzedukim are concerned, if you have anal intercourse, or what's the din? The tzedukim say the Torah doesn't talk about anything like that. The Torah simply talks about regular mishkevei Ishag, I mean, which we find even in homosexual relationships, it should be called normal mishkav. The Chachomim say, on the contrary, it's pretty hard to have normal mishkav when you don't have the proper equipment for normal mishkav, right? So obviously the Torah is talking about Even shelo kedarka is considered to be an act of mishkav. If it's true in homosexual relationships, it's true in heterosexual relationships too. The tzedukim do not agree to that. So there you have something where you would not be able to reopen the case, because if this person made a mistake, so then, well, you made a mistake. But, you know, we're not able, because of the din of tzaddik al tarok, we're not able to go back and reopen the case. Okay, Rabosai, I think we'll wait to understand the hakol till tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem. I'm unable, unfortunately, because of this problem, to do the Mishnah today. I apologize. Hope to find out what is troubling me. And hope that Gavi finds out what's causing this rash. It's probably this ridiculous cow stuff that he's feeding to Ori, and he takes care of it today. But Be'ezrat Hashem, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Everyone feeling good, and to be able to continue with the Mishnah and our learning. Kol Tov.